أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليه المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله العظيم.
ہے نظر میں جمال حبیب خدا ان کی تصویر سینے میں موجود ہے جس نے لا کر کلام الہی دیا وہ محمد مدینے میں موجود ہے پھول کھلتے ہیں پر پر کہ صلی علی پھول کھلتے ہیں پر پر کہ صلی علی جھوم کر کہہ رہی ہے یہ باد صبا ایسی خوشبو چمن کے گلوں میں کہاں ایسی خوشبو چمن کے گلوں میں کہاں جو نبی کے پسینے میں موجود ہے چھوڑنا تیرا طیبہ گوارا نہیں چھوڑنا تیرا تیبہ گارا نہیں، ساری دنیا میں ایسا نظارہ نہیں، ایسا منظر زمانے نے دیکھا نہیں، ایسا منظر زمانے نے دیکھا نہیں، جیسا منظر مدینے میں موجود ہے۔ ہم نے مانا کہ جنت بہت ہے حسین، ہم نے مانا کہ جنت بہت ہے حسین، چھوڑ کر ہم مدینہ نہ جائیں کہیں، چھوڑ کر ہم مدینہ نہ جائیں کہیں۔ یوں تو جنت میں سب ہے مدینہ نہیں، یوں تو جنت میں سب ہے مدینہ نہیں، اور جنت مدینے میں موجود ہے۔ اے نظر میں جمال حبیب خدا، ان کی تصویر سینے میں موجود ہے، جس نے لا کر کلام الہی دیا، وہ محمد مدینے میں موجود ہے، وہ ابو بکر فاروق عثمان علی، وہ ابو بکر فاروق عثمان علی، ہے یہ سب کے دین مبین کے فقیر، وہ فقیروں کے افسر شاہ انبیاء، وہ فقیروں کے افسر شاہ انبیاء، وہ شہنشاہ مدینے میں موجود ہے۔ ہے نظر میں جمال حبیب خدا، ان کی تصویر سینے میں موجود ہے، جس نے لا کر کلام الہی دیا، وہ محمد مدینے میں موجود ہے۔
جزاک اللہ خیر مولانا ابو ذر صاحب۔ الحمدللہ، as I had mentioned before, that our honorable Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Baratab Hafidahullah, everybody sitting here is affiliated either with the Shaykh directly or indirectly. Many of us have, mashallah, sat in Hazrat Mawlana's spiritual discourses many times. And mashallah, within this community, approximately 150 youth also benefited a few weeks back when we reported to Leicester, mashallah. Many youth have also benefited and sat in the company of Hazrat Wala, and they've derived the benefit from the company thereby. So alhamdulillah, likewise, those who are affiliated with the Shaykh will know that Hazrat Shaykh's teachings, they promote peace, they promote justice, they promote the correct understanding of Islam, so that we can nurture ourselves and mould ourselves into the practical examples which Allah and His Rasul want from us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those who have heard the cassettes or the CDs, or sat directly or indirectly, will know that the message is very simple. Very simple, easy to understand, easy to accept. And those who have benefited from Hazrat Wala's discourses have seen much, much rapid changes within their lives. So alhamdulillah, we are very, very fortunate in this time and age when there's many, many misinterpretations of the deen, that we have the authentic ulama amongst us, the ulama haq, Mashaykh al-Haqqa, those who are the Nur al-Nisbat, who are from amongst the elite personalities in our time and age. So we made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala has favored us to be amongst their company, alhamdulillah. And once again, I would like to request everyone to make dua for Hazrat Wala's health, inshaAllah. Hazrat Wala is not feeling so well today, and it's very busy schedule. So I would request everyone, inshaAllah, it's a very blessed gathering. Many pious people are here, many young children are here. So everyone make Ameen as well, that may Allah Rabbul Izzah grant Hazrat Wala great health, inshaAllah. And may Allah give all of us the tawfiq to benefit immensely from his company, inshaAllah. So without taking much more time, I would like now to recall upon my Hazrat very humbly to come forward, inshaAllah, and to bless
the Lord with his word of wisdom. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد وقال عز وجل إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Respected ulama, honorable elders, brothers in Islam, and my dear young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and sent us into this world for a very limited period. Sooner or later, and sooner rather than later, each person will have to depart from this world. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every person will have to taste death. Upon departing from this world, a person will have to pass through the station of Barzakh. Barzakh begins from the time the soul departs from the body, and Barzakh will end when the person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. So from the time the soul departs from the body until the person is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, this period is known as Barzakh. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Now Barzakh can be in the form of a grave. Barzakh can be in the form of ashes. Barzakh can be the stomach of an animal. Barzakh can be in the form of the body just rotting away. Barzakh can be in the form of eagles and vultures eating away the body. Whether you are buried, whether you are burned to ashes, whether you rot away without being buried, whether your ashes are thrown in the ocean, whether the wind blow away your ashes, whatever the form may be, from the time the soul departs until one is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, this period is known as Barzakh. And everything that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has mentioned regarding the qabr is related to this period of Barzakh, wherever this person may be. It is not necessary that a person will be asked questions by Munkar Nakir only if he is buried in the grave. It is not necessary. Normally, the period of Barzakh is spent in the grave. So for this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when discussing the period of Barzakh, normally mentions the word qabr. But it is not necessary that a person will only be questioned if he is buried in the grave. Everything mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding the grave is related to this period of Barzakh. So we are in this world for a very temporary period. As soon as we depart from this world, we will enter the station of Barzakh. And we will remain in Barzakh for many, many years until we are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, we will be reckoned for our deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this reckoning, will decide either of two places for us, either Jahannam or Jannah. the quality of Jannah is that it is a place of nothing but comfort. There is no discomfort in Jannah. Not an iota of discomfort in Jannah. There is no grief. There is no sickness. There is no disgrace. There is no poverty. There is no hunger. There is no thirst. There is no anxiety. There is no discomfort whatsoever in Jannah. And the quality of Jahannam is opposite. There is not an iota of comfort in Jahannam. There is no peace in Jahannam. There is no comfort in Jahannam. There is no tranquility in Jahannam. There is no rest in Jahannam. There is no happiness in Jahannam. So Jannah is full of comfort and Jahannam is full of discomfort. Jannah is full of bounties and Jahannam is full of horrors. As far as this world is concerned, in this world, every human experiences both items, comfort and discomfort. There is comfort, there is discomfort, there is grief, there is peace of mind, there is anxiety, there is tranquility of the heart. There is poverty, there is wealth. There is honor, there is disgrace. There is health, there is sickness. There is youth, there is old age. There is life, there is death. So in this world, every person will experience comfort and discomfort. Some experience 50% comfort, 50% discomfort. Others experience 75% comfort, 25% discomfort. Others experience 75% discomfort, 25% comfort. Others 90-10, 80-20, 95-5. You will not find a single person who will be able to claim that after coming into this world, until I breathed my last, I saw nothing in this world except comfort. Similarly, you will not be able to find a single person who will be able to claim that after coming into this world, until I breathed my last, I experienced nothing but discomfort. If this place was free from discomfort, then this would have been Jannah. So there was no need for us to strive and try to acquire Jannah. And if in this world there was no comfort, then this place would have been Jahannam. There was no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause death so that the sinners may be punished in the hereafter by being thrown in the fire of Jahannam. So this place is a place of comfort and discomfort. And each person will experience both comfort and discomfort. And there are many wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating comfort and discomfort in this world. There are many wisdoms behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making every human experience comfort and discomfort both in this world. We do not wish to go into
the discussion of these wisdoms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world, and in this world everybody experiences comfort, everybody experiences discomfort. And this comfort, this discomfort, these two conditions are the basis of our examination in this world.
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا.
It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created the maut and hayat. It is only Allah who has created maut. Maut, death. Death brings discomfort. Wal hayat, and it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created hayat. Hayat, life. When a child is born, hayat comes into existence. And hayat brings comfort. Death brings grief, hayat brings happiness. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created maut and hayat, death and life, grief and happiness, discomfort and comfort. Why has He created comfort and discomfort, grief and happiness, peace of mind and anxiety, death and life? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, so that He may test you, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may examine you. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test you, and so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may find out whom from amongst you is best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maut and hayat, death and life, it is a very general term, maut and hayat. A businessman initiates a business and successfully initiates a business. This is hayat of his business. And after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, he experiences bad times and he faces bankruptcy. This is maut of his business. A person finds a bride, or a lady finds a bridegroom, they get married. This is the hayat of their nikah. And after 5 years, after 10 years, after a few months, they experience a rough patch and it results in a divorce. This is the maut of their nikah. Maut and hayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a favor. This is the hayat of that favor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away that favor, this is the maut of that favor. And this happens on a daily basis. On a daily basis. You are fit and healthy, this is the hayat of your health. And suddenly you experience sickness, illness, flu, fever, virus. This is the death of your health. And after 5 days, after 1 week, after 10 days, you become healthy again. This is the hayat of your health. And after 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, the doctor tells you that you are suffering from TB. This is the death of your health. And after 6 months, 8 months of treatment, the doctor says you are healthy now. This is the hayat of your health. Daily we experience this hayat, maut, hayat, maut, hayat, maut. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a favor, this is the hayat of that favor. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches away that favor, this is the death of that favor. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant these hayats and these mauts on a continual basis? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see whether His servant and His abd, His slave, passes the test or not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given instructions. What are the instructions? Oh my servant, when I grant you hayat through any favor, then it is your duty to be grateful to me. Your duty is shukr. And when I snatch away any favor, and by snatching away any favor, if I grant death to that favor, then it is your duty to be patient, to do sabr. So every second of our lives, we will experience sometimes only hayat of favors. Sometimes we will experience both hayat of a particular favor and maut and death of a particular favor. My eyes are perfectly alright. Alhamdulillah. This is the hayat of my eyes. But I've got pain in my ears. This is the death of the favor of ears. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see whether I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favor of my eyes or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see whether at the same time I am being patient for the pain in my ear or not. This is the test of life. So one should never assume that if I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I fulfill all His commands, I will see no pain in this world. I will see no grief in this world. I will see no anxiety in this world. No. One should not expect that. Yes, in Jannah one should expect that after I go through this vigorous test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on every step, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes death to any particular ni'mat that He has granted me, if I practice patience, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants hayat, life to any of my favors, and He grants me that favor, if I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then once I am granted entry into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me everlasting peace, everlasting comfort, and everlasting luxury. But one should not expect that in this world. This is a very grave mistake that many people make. When faced with difficulty, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this in mind, that I have no choice but to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to save myself from this calamity. You must not turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save yourself from that calamity. You must take that calamity, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has awakened you, which has granted you the realization to turn to Allah, and now you should turn to Allah to make friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that difficulty or not, that is a separate matter. It must be understood here that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes His servant with a calamity, with an adversity, it is not necessary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him. Normally, this is the conclusion that we reach when we see a member of the community suffering. When we see a member of the community suffering, this is the conclusion we reach. He is suffering from cancer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be unhappy with him. That's why he is suffering from cancer. No, my friends, it is not necessary that adversities falls only upon those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. No, it is not necessary. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends adversities, calamities, so that the servant, the abd, the slave, can wake up from his sleep. He can wake up from his slumber and he can make friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. In this very world, before the hereafter. Yes, there are people who are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are those upon whom afflictions are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to show his servant mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may want to forgive his sins in this very world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not want to punish him in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send afflictions upon him, so that he is purified in this very world, and he will not have to enter the fire of hell. He will not have to go through the punishment in the grave. He will not have to go through the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Now this is not punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to grant khair, goodness to his servant, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down afflictions upon him in this world. إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْعُقُوبَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to grant his servant goodness in this very world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends affliction in this very world so that he is purified before going into the hereafter. So he does not have to be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. So he does not have to go in the fire of Jahannam after reckoning. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends afflictions upon his servants because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his servants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that his servant comes to the masjid, his servant goes in prostration, his servant performs salat, his servant raises his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and communicates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his servant. He wishes that his servant comes to the masjid, but he is not coming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that his servant wakes up in the middle of the night and performs tahajjud, but he is not doing so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that he goes for umrah, but he doesn't do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that he goes into prostration and he weeps and cries before the Creator, but he doesn't do so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down afflictions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down afflictions, calamities. And by sending down afflictions and calamities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces this person to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very well-known story of Layla and Majnu. Majnu fell in love with Layla. And he tried his utmost to get married to Layla so that she can become lawful for him. But the family of Layla were not prepared to cooperate. Now every day, Majnu would wake up in the middle of the night, perform tahajjud salat, and thereafter he would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he would beseech Allah for his help. Sometimes he is crying, weeping, sometimes in sajda. He would get up from his sajda, he would raise his hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. He would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for forgiveness. When a person is struck with calamity, he would ask for so many other things also when he is praying. And this continued for weeks and months. But he was not able to resolve his problem through dua. And when a person falls in love with somebody, then he loses interest in everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us from unlawful love. Amen. Unlawful love snatches away all the sukoon of your heart. My friends, try your utmost to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to enlighten your heart with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try to enlighten your heart with the love of those who are the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlawful love is a means of destruction in this very world and in the hereafter also. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. He said, I am conveying three things to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through you I am conveying these three things to your ummah. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ish ma shita fa innaka mayyit. Live in this world for as long as you desire. But remember, one day you will have to die. Live for 100 years, live for 1,000 years, live for 100,000 years. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave anybody the choice to stay in this world for as long as he wished, then sooner or later he will have to depart. Nobody has come into this world to live forever. So, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ish ma shida fa innaka mayyit. Live in this world for as long as you are able to. But remember that one day you will have to depart from this world. Advice number two, wa ahbib man shi'ta fa innaka mufariquhu. And love whomsoever you wish. But remember that sooner or later you will have to separate from that person. Sooner or later, you will have to separate from that person. So why love somebody from whom you will have to separate one day? Either you will separate from that person, or that person will separate from you. Either you will lose interest in that person, or that person will lose interest in you. Only that love will remain forever and ever, which is for the pleasure of Allah only. Only that love will remain forever and ever, which is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And this love between two Muslims, which is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, will guarantee place under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And the love between two people, which was not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was for worldly gains, which was for personal interests, which was out of lust and fulfillment of desire, these people, if they are able to maintain their love and friendship until they breathe their last, then when they are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, the Quran says they will become enemies. Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din aduwwun illa al-muttaqeen. So when we love somebody, not for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that love is not everlasting. Sooner or later, either of the two will separate from the other. And if it lasts until we breathe our last, then on the day of Qiyamah, they will separate from each other. They will blame each other. They will blame each other. Oh Allah, I committed this sin because of him. And he will say, oh Allah, no, he made me commit this sin. And at that time, both will say, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. If only I did not make him my friend. If only I did not make him my friend. Why did I make him my friend? So make friendship only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شَيْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. Love whomsoever you wish, but remember, you will have to separate from that person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, third advice, وَعْمَلْ مَا شَيْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ. And do whatever you wish, do whatever you desire in this world, good, bad, do whatever you desire. But remember one thing. Remember one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay you on the day of Qiyamah. If it is good, Allah will repay you through Jannah. If it is evil, if it is bad, Allah will repay you through Jahannam. So one very important advice is, وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِيْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. Love whomsoever you wish, but remember, sooner or later you will separate. We see so many unlawful loves for which the couple sacrifice everything. Sacrifice honor, sacrifice wealth, sacrifice family. They sacrifice everything, comfort. And after 5 years, after 10 years, you hear that they are separating. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Loss in this world, loss in the hereafter. Always aim to make friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his trust for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his love for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his affection for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his friendship with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, matchless. Matchless. Before departing from this world, what did he say? مَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَنَا يَدٌ إِلَّا وَقَدْ كَافَيْنَاهُ مَا خَلَى أَبَا بَكْرَ فَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا يَدًا يُكَافِئُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I am not indebted to anybody in this world. I have repaid each and every person for any favor that he has conferred upon me. Everybody's favor has been repaid. Aisha, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Bilal, Talha, Zubair, radiyallahu anhu majmain. Everybody's favor has been repaid. Ma khala Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's favors are so many upon me that I have not been able to repay him for his favors. His favors are so many. فَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا يَدًا يُكَافِئُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to repay him on my behalf on the day of Qiyamah. Despite this closeness, what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا فِي النَّاسِ خَلِيلًا. If I was to make somebody my very close friend, if I was to choose somebody as a bosom friend of mine, I would have chosen Abu Bakr. وَلَكِنَّ خُلَّةَ الْإِسْلَامِ أَفْضَلِ. But the friendship of Islam and the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than the friendship of Abu Bakr. Whatever we see around us, my friends, these friendships, they don't last for long. They don't last for long. Let us make this the objective of our lives from today. We want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ours. And we want to become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. We want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us. We want to become His mahbub, and we want Him to become our mahbub. And in order to do that, we have to strictly follow the path of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. O my followers, you follow in my footsteps, yuhibbukum Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you His beloved. And Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi has cited a part of a couplet in his tafsir, laysa shanu an tuhibba. Laysa shanu an tuhibba. You become the lover of somebody is not something great. Wa innama shanu an tuhabba. Your becoming the beloved of somebody is something to be proud of. And when a person becomes the mahbub and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allama Shibli rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great saint, once he was sat with his companions, and a person came struck with grief and pain. He had become a victim of depression. Those people who become the victims of unlawful love, sooner or later have to go through a phase in their lives where they feel depressed. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Why? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish such people with depression? Because this pure heart was for the love of Allah. And in this pure heart, when a person gives place to filthy love, dirty love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish that person with depression. In depression, he came and he said, "Oh Hazrat, make dua for me. Make dua for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me away from this world." Allahu Akbar. Those people who become the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who fall in love with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who fall in love with Sahaba, who fall in love with the awliya, with the friends of Allah, those people who love their wives only because they love Allah, those people who love their parents only because they love Allah, those people who love their Muslim brothers and sisters only because they love Allah, such people, despite facing all difficulties and traumas, will never think of committing suicide. But those people who fall in unlawful relationships, upon them will always come a phase where they will want to take their lives. Or at least they will wish that their life came to an end. So for them, there is a couplet in Urdu. Abhi to ghabra ke ye kehte hain ke mar jayenge. Now out of pain, now out of this depression, you want to kill yourself and you think to yourself that once I die, my problems will be solved. But you are wrong. This is the beginning of your problem. After death, that is where all the problems will start. Abhi to ghabra ke ye kehte hain ke mar jayenge. Out of anxiety, out of grief, you say that you want to die so that you can relieve yourself of the problems. Mar ke bhi chain na paya to kidhar jayenge? If you don't find solace and peace after you die, where will you go? Will you be able to commit suicide in the grave? Will you be able to commit suicide on the day of Qiyamah? Will you be able to commit suicide in Jahannam? Committing suicide is not the end of the problem, it is the beginning of problem. So he said, Hazrat, make dua for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me away from this world. I don't want to live in this world anymore. I'm sick and tired of this world. Hazrat said, come close, sit down, relax. What is your problem? Every problem has a solution. So he said, Hazrat, I had a friend, a very close friend, very dear friend. I was deeply in love with him. Deeply in love with my friend. We were very good friends. We would eat together. We would walk together. We would spend most of our time together. We could not do without each other. Very close friends. And I did not even dream that he could leave me and separate from me. But Hazrat, my friend has treated me with disloyalty. He has left me. He has left me. Why did he leave him? It is simple. For as long as you enjoy the friendship, you remain friends. And when you find more enjoyment elsewhere, you leave. If it is not for Allah, if it is for other interests, for as long as that interest is there, you will remain friends. As soon as you can fulfill that interest better elsewhere, you will leave that person. Hazrat, I never even dreamt that this person will leave me one day. And he has left me. I'm shattered. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I continually remember him. Life has become hell for me. So Hazrat said, the solution to your problem is very, very easy, very simple. He said, what is the solution, Hazrat? He said, the solution is, fall in love with somebody else. He said, in this heart, only one love can remain at a time. So at the moment you are madly in love with this particular person, find somebody whom you can love, fall in love with this person, and automatically the second love will push out the first love. And you will relieve yourself of this problem. So he said, Hazrat, after the first experience, I have vowed not to make friends anymore. The first bitter experience was enough. Because if I find another friend, and if I befriend him, and if I fall in love with this person, then the same thing will happen again after 5 years, after 10 years, and I will have to go through the same exercise. Hazrat said, no, don't make that mistake again, a second time. The first time you did not think before making him your friend. This time choose a friend who will never leave you. So he said, Hazrat, I assumed that the first friend was never going to leave me as well. So he, Hazrat said, no. I will find a friend for you who will never leave you. And despite your leaving him 100 times, 1,000 times, if you come back to him extending your hand of friendship, he will immediately shake hands with you. So he said, Hazrat, definitely, who is this person? So Sheikh Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And if you leave him once, if you leave him 100 times, if you leave him 1,000 times, and you turn to him and you say, oh Allah, I was disloyal to you, I want to become loyal again, forgive me and accept me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept him immediately. إن الله تعالى يبسط يده بالليل ليتوب مسيء النهار ويبسط يده بالنهار ليتوب مسيء الليل. Daily, friends of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, the believers, الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. The mu'mineen, the believers are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a daily basis they commit sins, and by committing sins they become disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the day, during the night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that from morning until night, from subah sadiq until sunset, until maghrib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out His arms and He says that those of you who were disloyal to me during the night, come, I am waiting for your friendship, come, make friendship with me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out His arms from Maghrib till Subha Sadiq and He says, those of you who were disloyal to me during the day, come back again, come back to me, I will become your friend. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that we will not look for unlawful friendship, unlawful love. Love only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love remaining within the limits of Sharia. Let us use the internet correctly. The most dangerous place for young people when it comes to unlawful love is the use of internet. Wrong use of internet. Make sure that this internet connection does not disconnect you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These pleasures, for how long? For 1 month, for 5 months, for 5 years, for 50 years? What will happen after we depart from this world? If we are not punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, if we are not shaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wake us up from our slumber in this world, then definitely doom is waiting for us in the hereafter. So make a firm resolution that we will keep our hearts clean and pure from unlawful love. And if the filth of unlawful love has entered the heart, then we will try our utmost to purify this heart from that unlawful love. And if we ourselves cannot purify our hearts, then we will seek guidance from the professionals, from the experts. We will seek guidance and we will try our utmost to purify this heart which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for His love only. So Majnu used to wake up every day at tahajjud and he used to weep and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes in sajda, sometimes raising his hands in dua, weeping, crying, shedding tears. And he used to say, Oh Allah, make Layla lawful for me. I'm trying to forget Layla, but I can't. Make Layla lawful for me. Make Layla lawful for me. If he had turned towards an expert during his time, he would have been able to purify his heart from this unlawful love. But he did not do that. He tried to acquire Layla. Oh Allah, grant me Layla. Oh Allah, grant me Layla. Every day he would cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But weeks passed, months passed, his dua did not materialize. So one day out of frustration he said, Oh Allah, I'm sick and tired of this life. I can't sleep, I can't eat, no enjoyment in life, no interest in anything. I'm sick of everything, everybody is sick of me. So Oh Allah, this night will be a decisive one. You have Qudrat and you have power over everything. You have power to give me Layla and you have power to remove the love of Layla from my heart. You can do both. You can give me Layla, you can make her lawful for me, and you can also remove the unlawful love of Layla from my heart. if Layla is predestined for me, then quickly make her loveful for me and make my marriage possible. And if she is not predestined for me, then remove the love of Layla from my heart so that I can find some comfort in this life. And he said, oh Allah, tonight is going to be a decisive one. Decisive one. And he just continued with this one appeal. Oh Allah, either grant me Layla or remove the love of Layla from my heart. And whilst crying, weeping in sajda, he fell asleep. And in this sleep, he saw an angel in his dream. The angel said, I have a message for you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh Majnu, it is not that we are not listening to your prayer every day. It is not that we are unaware of your tahajjud. We are aware of your tahajjud, we are aware of your sajda, we are aware of your dua. We are aware of the pain that you are experiencing. We are aware of your total attention towards us. We are aware. And you are right, we have power over everything. We can grant you Layla. We can remove the love of Layla from your heart. But the question is, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the question is, if I gave you Layla, or if I removed the love of Layla from your heart, will you continue to wake up for tahajjud and prostrate before me? I have put you in this situation because I love you. And I like this prostration of yours during the time of tahajjud. So many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends afflictions because He loves the servant. And He wishes that the servant turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my friends, whenever we are struck with any calamity, whenever we face any difficulty, and when shaitan slowly, slowly pushes us away from the masjid, from tilawat, from dhikr, and he makes us feel despondent, hopeless, at that time force yourself and come more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get hold of the hand of friendship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extending at that moment. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends calamities so that our sins are forgiven. And we are not punished in the hereafter. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends calamities so that our status can be elevated. The Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam have no sins. Awliya have no sins. The Sahaba have no sins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them through tests and trials so that through their sabr, their status is elevated even more. So it is not necessary that when we see somebody suffering, when we see somebody facing adversity, somebody afflicted, it is not necessary that he is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these calamities so that he can benefit his servant and grant him so many other favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I send calamity upon my servant and he practices patience, then I will grant him Jannah without reckoning on the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the reward of the people who are patient upon afflictions in this world, Jannah without any reckoning. According to the tafsir of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, مَا لِعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ جَزَاءٌ مَا لِعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ جَزَاءٌ إِذَا قَبَزْتُ صَفِيَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنِيَا فَصَبَرَ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. When I snatch away a beloved friend of a person. For example, I snatch away a beloved son of a father, or I take away the beloved father of a son, or I take away the beloved wife of a husband, or I take away the beloved husband of a wife, or I take away the beloved sheikh of a murid, or a beloved murid of a sheikh. When I take away somebody that is being loved only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when I take away this beloved one, this person experiences pain in the heart, but upon experiencing pain, he does not complain. He says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And he says, "Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away one favor from me, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has continued to shower me with so many other favors. My husband has been taken away, but my brother is there, my father is there, my son is there, alhamdulillah. I'm fit and healthy, my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my nose, my brain." So the person says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and the person says, "Alhamdulillah, I am happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reward for only this action of sabr, 5 times salat, zakat, hajj, tilawat, zikr, all that is bonus. When I strike this person with this particular calamity of taking away his beloved, and the pain that is caused by this calamity, this person experiences sabr. And this person says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, alhamdulillah, I am happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reward of this one amal only is my jannah. The reward of this amal is jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends malakul maut to take away a very young child of a person, very young child. Normally our children are very much beloved to us, but the younger they are, the more beloved they are to us. They are like a piece of our heart when they are 2 years old, 3 years old. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Malakul Maut with this instruction that bring this child, snatch this child away from my servant, from the mother, from the father. So Malakul Maut arrives and he takes away this child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite knowing everything, asks Malakul Maut that when you snatched away the young child of my servant, what did my servant do? What did he do? What did she do? قَبَسْتُمْ ثَمَرَةَ فُعَادِهِ قَبَسْتُمْ ثَمَرَةَ فُعَادِهِ. Oh my angels, you have snatched away the piece of heart of my servant. مَاذَا قَالَ عَبْدِي. At that time, what did my servant say? So, the Malaika, Malakul Maut, and his associates say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, when we snatched away this child of your servant, he or she said, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.' He or she said, 'Alhamdulillah.' Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, 'Quickly build a palace in Jannah for my servant. And put a board on this palace, Baytul Hamd.' This is the palace of praise. Because upon my causing them calamity, instead of complaining against me, they were praising me. Alhamdulillah. They did not forget all the other favors that I have bestowed them with. Normally what happens is when our ta'alluq and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak, then we only remember that favor. Allah has taken this away from me. Allah has taken this away from me. Allah has taken this. But when we have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is very easy to contemplate and counsel ourselves that Allah has taken away only one ni'mat, and He has left behind thousands and hundreds of thousands of ni'mat. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in another hadith, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ. When I test my servant by snatching away his two beloved items, and by two beloved items, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the eyes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches away the noor in our eyes, and a person who is perfectly alright becomes blind, a very big test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very big test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ. When I test my servant by snatching away his eyesight, by making him blind, فَصَبَرَ. And thereafter my servant practices patience. What do I give him in return? أَوَّسْتُهُ مِنْهُمَا الْجَنَّةِ. In return I give him Jannah. For these two eyes I give him Jannah, everything else is bonus. Everything else is bonus. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that those people who suffered in this world through calamities, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them reward for their patience. For example, somebody was suffering from eczema. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that no medication cured you, and all the time you were in lot of pain, lot of suffering, and all you did was you were happy with my decree. You were happy with my decree, here I give you reward for your sabr. Somebody was the victim of hunger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward this person for the sabr that this person underwent. So many other calamities, so many people are suffering throughout the world. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward people for sabr upon their suffering, then those people who did not suffer in this world will wish at that time on the day of Qiyamah that I wish I also suffered. I wish I also suffered to the extent that I wish I was tormented and tortured by somebody cutting my skin into pieces, so that I would have also been rewarded today by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two tests in life. When we experience discomfort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see our sabr. And when we experience comfort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see our shukr. When we experience discomfort and we begin to complain, we say, why me? Why me out of all these people? Why me when I perform salat regularly? Why me when I am very, very punctual as far as zakat is concerned? Why me when I help so many people, when I am so affectionate? What wrong have I committed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this calamity upon me? This is not sabr. If a person begins to complain when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends calamity upon this person, this is a sign that this calamity is not mercy for him, this calamity is a punishment for him. This is how to differentiate whether a calamity is a punishment or a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person complains, it means it is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person practices sabr and patience, it means it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we experience discomfort, what does Allah wish to see? Sabr. Sabr. Inna Allah ma'a sabirin. Inna Allah ma'a sabirin. Allah is with those people who practice sabr. Allah is with those people who practice sabr. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will definitely test you. We will definitely test you. We will always continue to test you, the mu'min. Alif Lam Mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. What do the believers think? Only because they have said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they will not have to undergo any difficulty? No, now that you have said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you have claimed to love Allah. And a lover is always tested by the beloved. You will have to undergo tests. The Anbiya had to undergo tests. The Sahaba had to undergo tests. All believers have to undergo tests and trials. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ We will definitely test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ With a little bit of fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send fear through various means. And then Allah will see what you do. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوْءُ Little bit of hunger. وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you by decreasing your wealth. وَالْأَنْفُسِ Allah will test you by taking your lives. والثمرات Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you by decreasing the crops in the farm, fruits in the orchards. And Allah will test you. Test you, Allah will want to see whether you carry out the demand of that time or not. And the demand of the time is practice sabr, become sabir. If you pass, وَبَشَّرِ السَّابِرِينَ If you pass, وَبَشَّرِ السَّابِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give glad tidings to those people who pass and who practice sabr. And who are the people who pass? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ They are those people who say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ My child has gone, so what? My child belongs to Allah and I also belong to Allah. And not only me, all of us belong to Allah. My whole family belongs to Allah. Allah can take away whatever He wishes, whenever He wishes. Inna lillah. And why should I worry? This separation is temporary. Wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We will also be returning to Allah. So after a few months, a few years, we will be meeting with our friend, with our child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a person exercises this sabr and patience, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ Allah will grant this person three blessings. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ Number one, Allah will send upon this person blessings from the heavens. وَرَحْمَةً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send mercies from the heavens. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant hidayah to this person who will be able to easily walk the straight path leading to Jannah. So this is first part of the test, sabr. And second part of the test, shukr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants one comfort, comfort. At that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see whether the servant is grateful or not. This is the second part of test. Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayat. Allah has created maut, death. That is discomfort. Wal hayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created hayat, comfort. To see whether the person is patient in times of death and whether the person is grateful in times of hayat and in times of life and in times of blessings or not. This is the second test. If we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase our favor. Increase our ni'mat. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your favor in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you in the hereafter for being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So friends, every moment and every second of our lives, if we contemplate and if we reflect, then sometimes we will find only comfort in our lives. At that time Allah wishes to see whether we are grateful or not. Sometimes we will find comfort and discomfort. At that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see whether we are grateful for the favors and we are patient upon the discomfort or not. And this situation will never come where you will see only discomfort. This situation will never come. If the eyes are in pain, then the ears will be okay. If the ears are in pain, the teeth will be fine. If the teeth are experiencing pain, the brain will be okay. this opportunity will never come where you are experiencing nothing but discomfort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see whether we are grateful or not, and whether we are patient or not. What we need to do, my friends, is on a daily basis, take out some time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sit in seclusion and think about all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted you during the last 24 hours. And say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, there are so many favors I can understand and there are so many favors I cannot understand. There are so many favors I cannot understand." A very pious saint was seen by somebody carrying a bag in which he used to urinate. Automatically the urine used to go into that bag. Sometimes when people have some problems with their urination, then a bag is attached and the urine directly goes into that bag. It's a very discomfortable situation. Now he was a very pious personality. So somebody met him and he said, "How are you?" So he said, "You are asking me about my condition. I am being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being ungrateful to Him." So this person said, "Hazrat, you are very pious. You are the wali of Allah. You are muttaqi. You are the saint of Allah. If you are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who will be grateful to Allah? What are you talking about? You are ungrateful to Allah." So he said, "Do you not see this bag?" He said, "What is the problem?" So he said, "I have got problem with my urination. And the doctor has attached this bag, and I have to carry this filthy bag all the time, and the urine goes direct into this bag." So he said, "Hazrat, but what do you mean by being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You are being punished for being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So he said, "I am 65 years old. And for 65 years, on a daily basis, without any difficulty, without any charge, without any fees, I was relieving myself with lot of comfort 2 to 3 times a day. But because I did not realize that this was also a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I never said to Allah that, 'Oh Allah, I am grateful for this favor.' What greater ungratefulness can be there than this, that for 65 years Allah had granted me this ni'mat of relieving myself and purifying my body from this filth without any fees, without any effort on my part, and I did not even say a single time to Allah that, 'Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for this favor.'" So there are so many favors that we know and so many favors we are unaware of. So what we need to do is to daily think about five minutes, 10 minutes regarding the favors of Allah. Any favor that comes to your mind, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, mouth, brain, hands, fingers, wife, children, brothers, sisters, health, any favor that comes in your mind, Islam, Iman, Salat, the tawfiq to recite the Quran, any favor that comes in your mind, think about the favors and say, "Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for these favors, and I am also grateful to you for those favors that I am not even aware of." And the best way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any favor is to make sure that that favor is not utilized in his disobedience. This tongue is being used in backbiting, in lying, in swearing, in abusing others, in hurting other people. And whilst doing all these filthy things with the tongue, you say to Allah, "Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for this ni'mat of tongue. This is not gratefulness. The best way to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any favor is to make sure that you use that favor only in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My friends, if we are able to do this, if we are able to check ourselves and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favors and be patient upon any adversity that befalls us, then inshallah every second of our lives will be ibadat. And we will enter Jannah inshallah through the door of sabr and through the door of shukr. I will conclude with a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ajaban li amri al-mu'min." Ajaban li amri al-mu'min. The condition of a mu'min is wonderful. Allahu Akbar. Ajaban li amri al-mu'min. The condition of a mu'min is wonderful. Fa inna amrahu kullahu khair. Because every condition of his is nothing but goodness. Every condition of his is nothing but goodness. If he is healthy, that is goodness. And if he is suffering from cancer, that is also goodness. Why is every condition goodness? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha massathu sarra'u shakara." If goodness and happiness reaches him, then he fulfills the obligation of shukr. And through the door of shukr, he enters Jannah. وَإِذَا مَسَّتْهُ دَرَّاءُ sabra. And if affliction reaches him, then he practices sabr, and through the door of sabr, he enters Jannah. So every condition of a believer is nothing but goodness for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to continually monitor our lives and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for favors, and be patient upon any affliction that may befall us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa al'aqibatu lil muttaqin wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana ighfir lana wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma ihfazna min kulli bala'id dunya wa adhabil akhirah. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana fil umuri kulliha wa ajirna min khizyid dunya wa adhabil akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal afiyata fid din wad dunya wal akhirah. Allahumma إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان، واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير، فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير. إليك ربنا فحببنا، وفي أنفسنا لك ربنا فذللنا، وفي أعين الناس فعظمنا، ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا، وعلى صالح الأخلاق فقومنا، وعلى الصراط المستقيم فثبتنا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان، والعفو عما سلف وكان، والعفو عن أما سلف وكان. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولأهلينا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى
ومن العمل ما ترضى اللهم أذهب الباس رب الناس اشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما ولا مرضا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك.